Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, welcome tonight for our, I think it's our fifth or sixth, seventh. I don't remember which podcast or which viewing this is, but welcome back for our teaching tonight on Biblical Church. We're just glad to have you with us tonight and excited about this topic. Tonight, if you're, it's going to be special because what we're going to do, you're going to witness the writing of the an extra chapter to the book Biblical Church. Now, I taught on this a few weeks ago in one of our house churches, and I thought it was such a significant teaching. I really wanted to add it to this, and I thought right where we are here, you know, last week we spoke about the pyramids, and this week we're going to get into really the nuts and bolts of the New Testament church. Well, what I want to do is I want to lay this groundwork before we get there. So tonight, without any further ado, We've covered biblical and extra biblical history of how we've gotten to the traditions we're in. And we sealed that off last week with a teaching on the pyramids. The structure is the pyramidical structure that I really believe is not of God, and that God just literally, he has people trapped in it and he wants them out of there. Well, tonight I want to build a New Testament teaching that's based on some Old Testament prophecies. And we're going to start, if you have your Bible, in Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now, let me give you a little background before we get here. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, Jesus comes into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry. You remember the story, and they're shouting hosannas, and boy, they're just excited. And I mean, it's Jesus is riding on the donkey, and boy, it's a great time. And he comes in, and he looks around, and he goes into the temple, and he literally turns all the tables in the temple, the money changers, and wow, he just disrupted the religion of the day. And now, this is an amazing story. And so he leaves out, and the next day he comes in, he curses the fig tree on his way in, and then he has an encounter that I think is very important. And we're going to pick it up at that encounter right there. In chapter 21, we're in verse, let's see where we are, 23. And now we've talked about this before, but let's start right here. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority do you these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold Jesus as a prophet, or John as a prophet." And they answered and said, and they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." And he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, here's a very important thing. And remember, this is one of the things I've testified that it was from this verse. This is one of those passages that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart on that morning in my office, preparing for a sermon, and he used this as a catalyst to really start looking into the structure of the church. Now, when we think about the authority of a church, you can't get around this. Now, we'll get more in detail on this in a little bit, but the authority is going to, how that church views authority is going to shape the structure of that church. And I could draw you all kind of patterns and designs of authority structures, but almost all of them end up being a pyramid. We've seen it again and again. Now, what's interesting here is after, and look, I have to admit, this came to me much later than these initial revelations. These verses right here begin to caused me to question authority, because it was as I struggled with authorities and even being a man in authority and under authority, I saw what kind of problem that it was, and that it we literally shape our authority structures in the church just like the world. And when Jesus's disciples said, "We want to know who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom," and he said, "Look, the princes of the Gentiles exercise authority and lord it over them, but it shall not be so among you." And to me, those two passages coupled together set me on a journey of rethinking authority. Not that I want to be a rebel or out there on my own or not under authority. Look, I'm submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and I submit to his people as well. I don't want to boss nobody, and I don't want nobody boss. Jesus is my Lord, and I think that all Christians should think the same way, that we're to submit to the Lord and submit to one another. It says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And so if we can accept that and move forward, we can begin to look at some at the biblical authority structure. Now, he gives a couple of parables right after this. He gives a parable of the two sons. Remember that one? Two sons. He said, go work in my field. The first one said, I won't go. Later he said, yeah, I'll go. And he went. The second one, he says, go work in my field. The son said, I'll go. But he didn't go. Who did what was right? And he said, the first one, the one who repented, and he didn't agree at first, but then he repented. And then in the end, he did what was right. And so Jesus said he was the right. And even the religious leaders said the same thing. Then he gives the parable of the vineyard and the man going away, and he left out his vineyard to those who would care for it. And when he sent for the time of fruit, and they beat up all of the people he sent for, and then ultimately they killed his son. He said, now what will happen in the end? And he said, the Lord will come and destroy those people. And the Pharisees understood that the parable was about them. Now, here's where we get to the interesting part and what I want to talk to you about. Now, remember, all this in context, I'm just trying to build the context around it. So if you turn to Matthew 21, we're still right there, and verse 42, right after that, Jesus said, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Very interesting analogy of judgment concerning our relationship to this stone. We fall on it in brokenness. We fall on him and we're broken. We humble ourselves and we're broken on the stone. Or if the stone falls on us, we're ground to powder. Literally, we're humiliated and crushed under it. It's not a good picture. And so this stone that the builders rejected, this is a very important teaching. And if you look at it, if you're a student of the Bible anytime, you've read this verse. It's in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But then you see it in other places. It just crops up and you see this idea of the stone. And he said the stone, and remember, we're not talking about bricks. He said a stone. It could be a little stone or a big stone, but it was a stone which the builders, now this is an important word, the builders, that word in the Greek language is oikodomeo, oikodomeo. And it literally means to build the house, oikos, house, domeo, building, or builder, house builder, one who builds a house, who constructs, edifies, builds the edifice. And there's some interesting phrases that, as a matter of fact, one of the ideas, and we'll get to that in another teaching down the line here, but the idea of a good New Testament worship service, we have what's called oikodomeo. When the Holy Spirit literally takes over our church meeting and that flow of the Spirit, we get into that arena of oikodomeo, and I'll explain that as we go. But we see this picture, the stone which the builders, now consider builders, one of the miracles that God did in me in the new creation is that all of a sudden I began to be able to see structure. I was never an apprentice in carpentry, although I worked around some carpenters, that type of thing. But literally, God just miraculously gave me the ability to just figure out structure. Okay? And so I've enjoyed that. I built many, many buildings. I've built furnitures and cabinetry, and I've built metal buildings, and I can weld, I can do all. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying God miraculously did these things in me, but it has best served me in the realm of the church world. And that in so far as literally seeing the structure, and I believe that's what God wanted me to see all along, seeing the structure of how the church is built. Now, remember, Jesus said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, or literally the principal or the chief cornerstone. And this is very important. Now, we could all, many people have interpreted this, including myself at some point in time, that it's just a rejection of the person or even the message of Jesus Christ. I think it goes beyond that. I believe it's not just the message, but I think it's literally the authority of Jesus Christ and the shape that his body would take after that. And so the New Testament builders began to blend old and new. We saw that in my teachings and what we've learned from, from the time of the book of Acts all the way through the time of Constantine and through the Reformation. We saw that we've been in a perverse structure that blends the Old and the New Testament, that thanks to Constantine, he perverted the apostolic foundation and structure, and then we turned it into a marriage of church and state, and it created a hybrid. And so when we look at that teaching, when we look at it, Jesus said, the stone which the builder, now of course he's talking of himself, but I think he's bigger, and as this teaching goes on, unfolds tonight, it's going to get way bigger than that. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. It's become the chief building block in the structure that Christ wants. Now remember, we're talking about a prophecy against the New Testament builders. Think that through. He was speaking certainly to these Jewish builders, but this would apply throughout, because I see the New Testament builders, they don't want this either. They don't want the New Testament pattern. Now, let's turn, if we would, to an Old Testament passage. Let's go backward. But before we run off, let me just say, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, the head of the corner. And this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And basically, this is God's doing. And he said, it's marvelous. It's an amazing thing. It's beyond human comprehension in the sight of, wow, what God's doing. He's upending all religion as we've known it. And he's creating the kingdom come, the new covenant, the New Testament, a new wine would go in a new bottle. Ooh, think it through. But I want to tell you something. You cannot control the Holy Ghost. Let me say that again. You cannot control the Holy Ghost. We live in South Louisiana, Mississippi River, powerful, the mighty Mississippi River. When the explorers, my goodness, where that word, the explorers, when they first saw the Mississippi River, they said, Del Rio de Espíritu Santos, the river of the Holy Ghost. They thought it was such a mighty river, the river of the Holy Ghost. They call it that. And literally, we live here, and sometimes in that Mississippi River, it's got all those bends, and sometimes it's just the river wants to go in a direction, but the land has locked it, and it's turning so hard, but one day it just blows through that land, and it creates an old dead oxbow, but the river goes where it wants to. Folks, I believe every revival that we've ever known in the history of the church, it blew through the religion. It literally bypassed orthodoxy, and God did a new thing. Come on. I believe he's doing it right now. And you can agree with it or get blowed up. All right, now look, Isaiah 28. If you've heard me teaching the doctrines of Christ, you know that this is one of my favorite passages here, and it factors in heavily. Now stay with me. Watch this thing. In Isaiah 28 in the 9th verse, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? Now, you see, that's an insult to an educated person. We're talking doctrine, knowledge. We're going to teach that to a suckling infant? I mean, think that through. Think it through. Watch. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, and line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. Now, that's systematic religious learning. I mean, this is theology, if you want to get down to it, and it's doctrinal understanding. It would be right up the alley of scribe and Pharisees. Now, let me just be honest. It's right up my alley. I love line upon line and precept upon precept. But if that's the end in itself, folks, it ain't nothing but an exercise at the tree of the knowledge of good. I'm telling you, you can fill your head with the Bible and it'll be nothing more than an exercise at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Stay with me. Watch what he just said here. Verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, the apostle Paul, doing an exegetic teaching on Isaiah 28 over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think in verse 20 or 21, somewhere in there, he said, does it not say in the law that he's with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people? And he's absolutely translating this verse as speaking in tongues. Go look it up. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 or 21. Don't quote me on which verse it is. It's right in that area. But he's given credit that in the law, this is it, Isaiah, he's speaking about speaking in tongues. Now listen to this. To whom he said, this is the rest. What's the rest? Stammering lips and another tongue. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. So what's the rest that causes the weird? Speaking in tongues, the flow of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament believer. Stay with me. And this is the refreshing, rest and refreshing, yet they would not hear. Ooh, watch careful. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go, fall backwards, be broken, snared, and taken. That is not a good thing. In other words, there's a refusal of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit that would literally keep you bound up in line upon line, and that always learning but never coming to the truth, filling your head with knowledge but a heart that's far from Him, knowing without life, knowledge without life. This is religion. It's knowledge without life. Come on, man. Now it gets interesting. You see, the rejection of the Holy Spirit, religious pride hates it. When you start stammering in another tongue, jibber jabber, jibbity jibbity, hibbity hibbity, that you could get a demon doing that. You can get a demon being mean too. You can get a demon just about doing anything you want, buddy. As a matter of fact, there's more religious demons than any other kind. But let me tell you something. What demon's going to bring you into rest and refreshing? Be careful what you're throwing out there, buddy. Because let me tell you something. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an unpardonable sin. And the Holy Ghost wants His people filled that out of your belly would go rivers of living water. Come on. I remember the night I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. If there's ever a verse that ever meant something to me, out of my belly was going rivers of living water. I literally sat up in my bed. I'm going, it's like, what is that? Woo-hoo! Living waters. Glory be to God. Come on. It's funny when a Cajun talks in tongues. Anyway, let's keep going. Watch care. Look, rejection of the Holy Spirit that they might go and fall backwards, be broken, snared, and taken. The religious trap to reject the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. Watch where this goes. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you've said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge passed through the land, it shall not come unto us, for we have made our made lives our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And if you'll, judgment also I will lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Wow. Look at there. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth will not make haste. Isn't it amazing that the whole new covenant people are in a hurry to get it done? The Holy Ghost, the believers aren't making haste. They're not just trying to hurry, 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 hurry. I get caught in that religious trap. I would like to hurry, hurry, hurry. No, 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 no. The Holy Ghost, the river. Man, you in the river of the Spirit, and you go where He's wanting to go. But if we're rejecting the Holy Ghost, you're line upon line, your knowledge is going to just be trying to, you remember it says knowledge puffeth up. You're going to try to use the wisdom of men to build your machinery and get it done. Fill this building up and get that money coming so we can build bigger buildings, get more people. And you see, we're making a covenant with lies. We're making hell our refuge, and we're using lies to do it. And we're saying, sprinkle that infant or say a sinner's prayer. And that way, whenever hell comes, you're going to be saved. Lie. It's a lie. Come on. I'm almost talking in tongues now. Look at that. Some of you saying, I wish he would just only talk in tongues. That's right. Hear it carefully. The prophecy. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Who's laying it? God is laying this foundational stone. Guess what the builders did? They rejected it. We don't want to. You say, well, they were rejecting certain teachings that Jesus is the Christ. You know what Christ means? Anointed one. You know what the anointing is? The Holy Ghost. It ain't just the message of Jesus. It ain't just the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. They're rejecting the kingdom come. And the major way that God would build His kingdom through the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go back in this New Testament and keep it going. Ephesians in the second chapter. Nineteenth verse says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, I want you to hear this. Look at that. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but now we're fellow citizens and members of the household of God. We have been invited into God's family. And there ain't Jew and Greek. There's one family of God. Hear it, man. Jesus has brought the two together, therefore making of the two one, and therefore making peace. That it all comes together in a new covenant. Hear me. And look at it carefully. And they're built. We're being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. This is the work of that foundational work, apostolic and foundational work. They lay the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We'll get back to that next passage as we're going there. But for right now, they're laying the foundation of Christ. Now, look, watch careful. In whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple unto the Lord. Now look at there. They're using terms here. They're using industrial and agricultural terms in one passage that we have a building growing. You see, the distinction between religion and relationship is that religion is an organization building buildings. The relational thing is it's an organism and it's growing. It's a living thing. It's not an institution. It is a life. It's lifing. It's the body of Christ. We're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then we're growing into, look at this carefully, a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we are builded together as a habitation of God in the Holy Spirit. That our lives are being builded together. People who are built on Jesus Christ, who are now building their lives together, fitly framed together, grows into a habitation of the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, let me just declare, they used to say it at the Elvis Presley concert. Elvis has left the building. Man, that means the crowd go home. Might as well go home. God has left the building. Preacher, where's the house you're going to build for God? Come on, man. You're going to even think you're going to compare with Solomon or even Herod? You think this new thing they're supposed to build in Jerusalem is going to be a dink compared to what God is building? God said, I'm going to build my own house. Where's the house you're going to build for me? But we always resist the Holy Ghost because man in his pride wants to build his machinery and run it from the very top down and be the king of his own kingdom. Man, you Nimrod, come on out of here, you Diotrephes. It's time to break down the kingdoms of men, quit building pyramids and using God's people to make brick, mortar, getting their own straw and making their lives miserable as they build your programs to make you get your jet. Whoops. A habitation of God in the Spirit. Where is he going to dwell? In lives that are built together. Oh, wait. Relational structure. Turn with me, please. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter. Y'all having as much fun as me. This is good. 1 Corinthians and in the 3rd chapter. Now, let me give you some say like the fella, before I preach, let me say something. Look, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, look, I hear there's contentions or dissensions among you. Some of you are saying, I'm from Paul, I'm from Apollos, and I'm from Cephas. He said, I'm not, that ain't a good thing. Now, this is the beginning of the denominational world, you know, and we build up our own denominations. And, you know, the idea of that we're attracted to some affixing ourselves to a charismatic or some leadership personality. I'm from Pastor so-and-so, and you know, everybody. So where do y'all fellowship? Where you go to church at, man? Where, you know, it's so funny that when you hear these terms, everybody wants to know where you go to church. Okay. And so when you start trying to name a place, you know, basically that's the whole religious community totally identifies with that. What time y'all meet? We won't be there. So when and where, you know, is the basics of religious worship. But when we start getting down to the relational structure, it's not like that at all. The Apostle Paul was shooting down the idea of personality cult. He was shooting this down. And this is something we all have to take heed of. You right here in this room, listen carefully. The pressure we put on one person, I don't care how gifted that person is. It's irrelevant. Do not put that pressure on them, because the church is a habitation for the Holy Ghost. And until the Holy Ghost is flowing through every member of the body of Christ, we're doing damage. And if you're the one stopping the flow by saying, oh, that one, he should do it all, or she should do it all, and we literally put our own gifted in a napkin and bury it. No way, man. We've got to break this out and break this mindset where all the people of God, every man becomes a priest. Every woman a priest in the house of God. Paul was contending for this. Now look at chapter 3. Look what carefully what he says. Verse 10. Well, let's back up. I'm going to show you something. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. That's agricultural. You are God's building. That's industrial. How about that? If you don't think this is a common theme, there it is again. Stay with it. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation as apostolic work, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Would you listen to that? You remember, I've been hawking this since we started this series of teaching. God told Moses on Sinai, when he gave him the temple, the instruction to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, he said, be careful that you build it according to the pattern that I gave you in the mount. Remember that? You want exact pattern, all right? Now in this new covenant, the builders, Paul said, I laid the foundation. Another, I planted, Paulus watered. You know, another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. In other words, you pay close attention. You look carefully at how you're building on this thing. Now we're seeing the pragmatic principles overrun biblical principle. And if pragmatism, it basically means the end justifies the means. So whatever works, do it. You understand? That is no justification to play outside the rules. That is not what this is supposed to do. I want to suggest to you right now that the harlot church, literally the great harlot of Babylon, one of the greatest reasons for rejoicing among the apostles and prophets will be the fall of Babylon. Because the frustration when those who are building another church, a false vine, if you would, they're building the false thing and they're making a million easy ways to get in. And the true builders are frustrated every time we win a soul to Jesus. They're being extended this offering of the easy way. Here, come to our church. It's a much easier, broad way to it's broad. It's easy. All that other stuff, that's too difficult. That's too hard, man. I don't know. As straight as the gate, narrow is the way. We just know better than that now. Help me, Lord. Let's keep reading what Paul had to say. Please stay with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep reading in verse 11. Now, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Remember, we read that in Ephesians 2. We also read it in Isaiah 28. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Look at there. Gold, I'm going to come back to this after a while. So remember this. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, or stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Look what's on trial. The works, not the belief system, the work. What you're doing and what you're building with. Notice what is on trial. The building material is on trial. Hello? If any man's work abide, let me back it up. It shall be revealed. Every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. I want to tell you, I believe there's some very sincere preachers out there who are literally building. I did it. I'm telling you, I did it from 1992 to 2006. I built with wood, hay, and stubble. And I was very sincere in my doing of it. I'm not going to do that anymore. Wood, hay, and stubble. I was trying my best to build with gold, silver, precious stones, but I was building with wood, hay, and stubble. That's a fact. And the fire, when it tried it, it would all fall apart every time. Preachers, let me tell you something. There's a frustration in building a pyramid. And I want to tell you, there's going to be a day that the reckoning comes that your work won't stand. The prophet Ezekiel warned about the prophets. He said, you're building with untempered mortar. I'll tell you something. When you take mortar that is tempered, it generates a heat in that formation process. And as the stones are bound together by a tempered mortar, the heat makes the adhesion. And it sets it in an inseparable bond. And I believe this is the picture of what God wants us to do. I'm going to get back to that in just a few minutes, so stay with me. All right, look carefully what he goes on to say. I believe there's some preachers, you're going to walk into glory and you won't be, I think some are going straight to hell, but I think there's others who are very sincere, and I'm telling you, there won't be a reward at one for you. None. Stay with me. Verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God? Do what? It's ascribed to people? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And so today we see men building in an unrighteous way. The builders are not taking heed to the scripture. The builders are taking heed to pragmatic principles of the world and are building according to the world. And it won't stand the fire. It will not stand the day of judgment. It won't even stand a COVID. They're going to fall apart. We'll let another COVID outbreak go. And some of y'all are going to fold your tents like all these restaurants. You ain't going to be able to pay them notes anymore. But you're hanging on for dear life. It's the house of God. No, I just read it to you. We're the house of God, man. God is building himself a house. And but we just don't like the building materials. We still want brick and mortar. We want stuff that man made. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is still keeping in the same vein that's all it's woven throughout the book of Corinthians. Paul was addressing this issue of personality cult all throughout this book. He's actually trying to defend his own apostleship over and over again. He said, man, I'm a credible apostle. And then we got all these others doing stuff that is not according to the rules. They're not building lawfully or rightfully. Now look what he says in chapter 9. He's speaking to builders, y'all. Verse 24, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, I know I can hear the groanings of those who say that it's impossible to be cast away. I'm telling you, there are New Testament builders who will end up being a castaway. There will be people who have built some of the greatest churches you've ever seen. They're going to have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. You're going to have it going on. Men are going to go, whoo, they got it going on. And Jesus said, I ain't even in that. Go read the book of Revelation. Read chapters 2 and 3. There were churches, I'm telling you, churches who were losing their candlestick. They lost their status. They led their names blotted out. And I know I can hear you, all them Calvinists out there say, ooh, that's not possible. Well, just believe what you want to. Make lies your refuge. Make a covenant with hell. Be in agreement with it. Make yourself feel better until you go to hell for real. Stay with me. Let's go to another verse. 1 Peter, 1st chapter. All right. Let's see if we can bring it all together now. Bring this thing home. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 17. And if you, well, let me read verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, way of life. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we're going to build the house of God, it's going to start with something separated to God. Separated for God. It will be wholly devoted to God. Kerem. You know what kerem is in the old covenant? If a thing devoted, it was literally devoted for destruction. You know, when something was kerem, it would have no use afterwards. It was totally useless in for its original design. But that's what God wants. You see, today everybody's telling you how to get you a better life and make you a better you. They want you to fulfill your destiny and your purpose. Your destiny. And that means, and it's visions of grandiose about your own self and how you're going to be this wonderful thing. It's a false doctrine. It's all based about your aggrandizement. Look, man, everything about the Christian is about the aggrandizement of God. There's a great passage in the book of Isaiah that talks about the God of destiny, that they've worshiped the God of destiny. I think we're back to it again. Leave it to charismatics. If we can find a demon, we're going to get one. We'd only study our Bibles. Stay with this thing. It says, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, or without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, I want you to see this. Tradition had given them a bad manner of life. And he says, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul said, if any man build with gold, silver, or precious stone. Look, man, gold in prophetic language is the gold of faith. Silver in prophetic language is redemption. And precious stone are the redeemed people who by faith in the blood of Christ have been ransomed, redeemed back from the clutches of the devil in a certain eternity in damnation. And now we who were not a people are now a people. And God called us out of darkness. I don't want to outrun myself, but that's where we're going. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And by faith in His blood, we are now redeemed. And the silver of gold of faith and the silver of redemption, by the blood of the Lamb, we have become those precious stones. I was reading this week. Pharaoh said, go to, let's make brick. Remember that? He said it in also in chapter 11 of Genesis. Go to, let us make brick and bake them thoroughly and build us a temple that'll, a tower that'll reach to heaven. Pharaoh, in continuing in the same thought, had the children of Israel making brick. Moses said, let my people go. Oh, y'all too lazy. Y'all got too much time on your hands, so y'all make brick. Go get your own straw and still make bricks. I'm so tired of seeing God's people making pyramids for the future tombs of the kings, treasure cities for these modern day Nimrods. Please, folks, come out of her, my people. You don't have to have a life rigorous with hard bondage, serving program after program after program until you're spent. And then they'll throw you aside and get another one just like you and burn them out. Y'all ever remember that old movie, The Ten Commandments, and they were pulling them stones for the pyramids and they would run over them Hebrew slaves? Y'all remember Charlton Heston all up in? They don't care if these stones crush you. Just build the pyramid. Stay with this. Keep reading. Let's go over into chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envy and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? To Jesus. Coming to him as unto a living stone. What? A living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stone. Look at there. Not only is Jesus a living stone, so are you. Hello? Living stones. You as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him will not be confounded. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's done everything he can to confound us, because there's some of the builders saying, hey, build with brick and mortar. Let's build us a temple that'll reach to heaven. And man, it's going to be glory to God. Come to the house of God. And there's the other ones that are saying, you're the living stones. Come on, man. Christ, the chief cornerstone. The precious blood of Jesus, he was sacrificed, and by faith in his blood, you and I have been redeemed. And we now are living stones. Me and Diane were on our 15th anniversary down there at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, playing a little golf. I am a terrible golfer, I'm going to tell you. And look, anyway, we're over there and we said, let's go worship. And so we happened into this little small church. I don't know. We just went to one nearby. We don't do that kind of thing very often, but we did. And so we go into this church and there's a preacher, a special guest preacher that day. Guess what? He was a stonemason. And he made sure we understood he was not a brick mason. He said, brick masons work with dead man-made material. You hit that brick with a mason's hammer, and it's got no ring to it. Got no life in it. But see, a stonemason picks up a stone. You see, something that God made, a stone. He takes the stone and he taps it. First thing he does, and he's listening. He wants to hear it. Will it ring? Is there a song in the stone? Is it talking to me? Is it saying I'm alive? I'm without flaw. I'm a whole stone. And when he hears the song he's looking for from it, he begins to fashion that stone until it will fit with another stone. And I've looked at these beautiful stones in Gatlinburg and places in mountains where there's beautiful stone fireplaces, and the stones have been fitly framed together. Man, when God takes a living stone, he'll begin to chip on it and it'll keep singing, boy. And it sings until it fits with the other one. And then the songs come together. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth will not be confounded. Folks, we've been confounded long enough. I'm not confused a minute more about brick and mortar and come to this church. I'm telling you right now, Jesus never said come to church. He said go be the church. Whoo! Just holler a little bit. Glory be to God. Are you singing? Man, some of you stones have been hit so hard you cracked all the way through and you're good for nothing. Stones have to sing, man. When Jesus said, if these would hold their peace, the stones would. He didn't say the rocks would cry. He said the stones would cry out. I believe it was referencing the temple in Jerusalem. I believe if the people wouldn't have said nothing, the stones would have started saying, that's him. Hosanna to the Son. I believe, wouldn't that have been great? The rocks would have started. The stones would have talked. Stay with me. This ain't done. Keep on. You also, look at this. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone. That's Jesus. He's our living stone. He's the stone which the builders refuse. They don't want him. We don't want to build that way. We can't control that way. People start doing what they want to do. They might sing out of tune. Come on, say, ah, hallelujah. Look, you also as living stones. Come on, man. When we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, by faith in that blood, the silver redemption, we become those precious stones that are going to build up the temple. We are being builded together as a habitation of God in the Spirit. Y'all want the Holy Ghost? You're going to have to build your lives together on the foundation of Christ and begin to fit with one another. Let me tell you, in this generation, how tough that is, because everybody's offended. Y'all notice that? Everybody, I'm offended. I love to read the comments now. This is new to me. I don't do a lot of social media stuff. It's new to me. People talk about everything I say on here. They just quit pointing your finger. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do with my hands anymore. Last week, it was your coat, you look like Fidel Castro in that coat. I'm like, have you got anything else? Try something else. Oh, hallelujah. Stay with this. I forgot why I said all that. But look, it said, you're as living stone, lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What sacrifices? Oh, the Apostle Paul, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, in the book of Hebrews, offering up the calves of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. Listen, the people of God who've been redeemed and ransomed by the blood of Jesus, by faith in that blood, the golden faith in that blood has made us the silver of redemption. And now we're the precious stones. The heat's been put on us. And now we're literally the precious stones of God. And he's building with us. And there's stuff that he has to chip away so we'll fit with other people. Better get past your offenses, man. Jesus forgave you. And if you don't think you're a wicked person, I don't care if you're the goodest two-shoes ever in the whole world. If you was the sweetest little goody two-shoes, you're still a devil. And you need salvation and redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't be proud of your goodness. Humble yourself. Fall on the stone. Get broken. Come to Christ. Receive him by faith. Become a precious stone, a building block in his temple. We are that temple. Man, we become the temple of God individually and then collectively. And this is what God wants us to do collectively. A habitation of God in the Spirit, that when we're builded together, people, one individual full of the Holy Ghost joined to another individual full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, he said, we don't have to drum him up. We bring the sacrifice to pray. We're trying. Come on, we got to praise him till he comes. No, he came when I got here. Come on, somebody. You ought to be a praising machine. A machine. Come on, boy. Shout that victory. Look, where also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone.
elect precious, and he that believeth in him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Now here,
y'all, this message that I'm teaching you tonight, if we could get faith in what the pattern that Christ wants us. Sorry, that lady that told me not to. I'm sorry, I'm pointing up. And I don't have my Castro coat on. Please, if you could get this message and believe. If you could get the tradition, the vain conversation, the stupid religious talk out of our head and become Christian for a change and live with the people of God. A person void of offense because Christ literally delivered you from all your offenses. You're so clean, you want to forgive everybody else of their offenses. Come on. So your rock will sing. Woohoo! Sing! We got some singers out there. They're singing on Facebook right now. Hallelujah. Keep going. What time? I better hurry before I get in a Pentecostal fit. Watch. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Let me tell you what. Listen to me, especially preachers and those who want to have it that way. Build with your bricks and mortar. Man, go to the bank, get you some more loans and enjoy it. Build your pyramid. Just be warned, preacher, the higher that pyramid lifts you up, the more in danger you are of God himself smacking you down. I am the Lord, says God, and my glory I will not give to another. Don't you stand up on some pulpit and shine like you all that in a cup of... Mate, you ain't no... I don't care if you got a $150 million ministry. I don't care if you're a billionaire ministry. I don't care how many people come to your meeting. When you take God's glory, oh, get ready for your smackdown. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but to them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you, here we go, living stones, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. The light. Oh, I got so much to say about it. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that should show forth. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light that we should show forth the praise of him. Come on. Somebody ought to be shouting out there. Glory be to God. I hope this teaching, you see, this should have been a chapter in the book, Biblical. It is now, just by digitalia, whatever that means. Digitalization. I didn't write it down, but here it is. This is segue chapter from pyramids into the nuts and bolts of how to have a New Testament church. Well, let's wind this down. God does not live in temples that are made with hands. We're the temple of God. God has redeemed you, not with gold and silver. Don't make anybody, isn't it amazing that the main theme of most big churches is gold and silver? It's money. And how to get more of it. We were redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. And if it was that important to preachers, they would talk more about the blood of the Lamb than they do about money. When every other sermon you preach has to do with money, you're probably of your father, the devil. We don't need a nickel to have the kingdom of God. When this mighty river of the Holy Ghost is set to do what he wants to do among God's people, And that river is flexible to go wherever he wants. And boy, our tents are flexible enough to go right wherever he wants to. It's like one of them lazy rivers we see on vacation. We just go with the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel saw that river. He walked out 1,000 cubits. It was to the ankle. He walked out 1,000 more. It was to the knee. He walked out 1,000 more. It was to the hips. He walked out 1,000 more. And all of a sudden, he lost all buoyancy. And it was a river that took him wherever the river wanted to go. And the more we walk into this, the more the Holy Ghost was. We're going to follow where he leads. He'll take us where he wants to go. Glory be to God. Come on now, you chosen generation, you royal priesthood, you holy nation. You're the temple of God. You're the living stones. It's time to be fitted with another stone so the Holy Ghost can come live in us corporately. This is the building that God's building in this hour. God bless you. See you next week.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.